Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 93, Adamantium Rage. I am your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is absolutely no one because I do not have a co-host this week. Fortunately, through the power of technology, I've been able to revive one of my co-hosts from the past. Yes, that's right. Even though he was launched into the unknown reaches of space some time ago, Too Hot Scott Michella is back as the ScottBot 9000. Say hello, ScottBot.
Hey there.
Awesome. So, the ScottBot 9000 and myself, we are back this week to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. We've got some game impressions to discuss, we've got some news, and then we've got our big topic this week, which is all about punching people in the face.
Really?
You'll have to just stay tuned to see if I'm lying about that. Anyway, let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it with our impressions of a new game that came out on the Nintendo 3DS just a few days ago, that being Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of Valentia.
I love this series.
The first thing you should know about this game is that it features some major changes from recent Fire Emblem titles like Awakening and Fates. It's still a grid-based, turn-based strategy game, but other than that, it's not really what I've come to expect from Fire Emblem recently. There are many differences. This could almost be any tactics game if it weren't for the art style, and I can really see the reason it was released as Fire Emblem Gaiden when it came out originally on the Famicom in Japan.
Really?
Yes. For example, there are no breakable weapons, that I've seen so far anyway. There's no weapons triangle, archers can attack their enemies at point-blank range, and there are towns and dungeons to explore. Towns are sort of point-and-click affairs, where you're talking to people and finding items hidden amongst the backgrounds, and dungeons are these full 3D things that transition into traditional turn-based battles whenever you encounter an enemy. And to go along with that, there's a fatigue system, so you can't explore dungeons for too long. There's also no dating aspect this time, or collaboration in battle for that matter, although there are support conversations. It's pretty different from what I've come to expect from Fire Emblem, but I think it's actually nice for a change of pace. Also, the story, which has two main characters who are named Alm and Celica, and they go on these separate journeys that crisscross each other at certain points, that story is pretty intriguing. Between Alm's story of rising up to lead an army and all the political intrigue and the way that you can recruit new characters by talking to them, the game as a whole reminds me a lot of Suikoden, and that is not a bad thing at all.
I agree.
Overall, I'm greatly enjoying it. It's a very solid strategy title with top-notch graphics and music, and though I never played the original on the Famicom, from what I know of it, this seems to be modernized in all the right ways. I should also mention that I picked up the limited edition, which comes with a trio of 8-bit pins, a short but nice art book, and a music CD that includes tunes from both the remake and the original game. The LE is already tough to find, but I'd say it's worth tracking down for series fans. For that matter, I'd say that the game is worth getting if you have any interest in strategy games whatsoever. I still think Fire Emblem Awakening is a stronger game and a better place to start if you haven't played the series before, but regardless, this is an excellent effort. Of course, the game was also released alongside a pair of brand new amiibo.
Amiibo!
Sold in a two-pack, you can get Alm and Celica together for about $25. For the most part, just judging them as figurines, they're pretty nice. The detail is excellent, especially when it comes to Alm's armor. There are lots of little, you know, dents and nicks in it. It really feels like it's been lived in and worn in. And I love the flowing cape on Celica, as well as the intricate pattern on her coat and little touches like the gold trim and the gold buttons. The faces aren't quite so great, though. They kind of remind me of the first wave of amiibo, especially Marth, whose face just kind of looked a little bit off. Now, amiibo in general have come a long way with anime-style faces, especially the other Fire Emblem amiibo, but I would say that these two are a little bit of a step backwards. Also, Celica is kind of scrawny. I suppose she is in scale with other Fire Emblem amiibo, but compared to, like, Lucina, her limbs look like twigs. She feels like she's got about half the substance to her, and I suppose that's part of the reason why she's partially held up with a transparent stand. As far as functionality goes, using amiibo to summon allies in battle in Fire Emblem Echoes, it's kind of impractical. It uses a lot of your health, and so far I can only summon them for one turn, and they do all their fighting automatically, so it really doesn't seem to be worth it. Plus, you can only summon a character once per battle, which also seems silly considering that it does cost you a lot, so it kind of doesn't seem worthwhile. As far as the bonus dungeons go, I haven't done too much with those yet. I'm still told that I'm too weak to face a lot of the challenges, and when I tackled them, I was defeated pretty soundly. So I think a lot of that stuff is going to have to wait until I'm a little bit more leveled up. Even though these aren't my favorite amiibo or anything, I still rather like them. Although, as usual, I'd say that you'd be better off getting these as collectibles rather than for the in-game features.
Cool.
With that said, why don't we switch things up a bit and talk about some recent Nintendo news. Specifically, over in Japan, the folks at developer Intercreate have revealed a couple of new games for Switch. First up, we've got Mighty Gunvolt Burst, which isn't just for Switch, but it's also coming to the 3DS, and it is supposed to hit in June. This is a sequel to Mighty Gunvolt, which, if you remember, was an 8-bit mashup between Azure Striker Gunvolt and Mighty No. 9. This one's going to be bigger than the original, the graphics are going to be closer to a 16-bit look, and it looks like it's going to have a lot of really cool classic-style platforming action. However, when it comes to Mighty No. 9 being involved, I feel like Intercreate should just bury back and never acknowledge they ever had anything to do with that property.
I think I'm going to vomit.
Yeah, when it comes to Mighty No. 9, I think I have to agree. And let me tell you, you're never seeing that 3DS version of Mighty No. 9 that you backed, by the way.
That's terrible.
On the other hand, Intercreate also announced that Azure Striker Gunvolt Striker Pack is coming to the Switch in August. This is a port of the two 3DS games, which were also released in a physical 2-in-1 double pack like that not too long ago. They include all the DLC, it's going to run at 60 frames per second, and there are difficulty adjustments that have been made for better overall balance. These games were fantastic on the 3DS. I think it's great that it's going to be available on console and a new audience will have a chance to play it when it arrives on Switch.
I love it.
It should be a whole lot of fun. Now, those games are, of course, both officially confirmed to be coming in the not-too-distant future, but this next one is still technically a rumor. However, it's a big, fat, juicy rumor that's looking very, very real thanks to recent leaks, and that is Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which is apparently going to be published by Ubisoft on Switch.
Really?
Yeah. This one's been rumored for quite some time. I think we discussed it several months ago when the rumor first popped up. And I always thought it was real, but I had absolutely no idea what the game could possibly be. But these new leaks reveal that it is a turn-based, combat-focused RPG with 8 playable characters. Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Yoshi, and then rabid counterparts for all 4 of those characters. Projectile weapons seem to play a very big part in the game. Everybody's armed with some sort of crazy-looking blaster.
My head's gonna explode.
Yeah, nuts, huh? And apparently it takes place in some sort of twisted version of Mario's world, presumably that being the Mushroom Kingdom. Also, according to these rumors, it's going to have 2-player co-op multiplayer. I would be a lot more excited about this game personally if the Rabbids didn't have such a spotty track record, but then again, Nintendo probably wouldn't have signed off on this project and licensed out its biggest characters to Ubisoft if they didn't think the game was going to turn out any good.
Well, we'll see.
Yes, I imagine we'll know more for sure when E3 rolls around in just a couple of weeks. This seems like a good place to take an intermission, so let's do that. And then we come back, we will have this week's big topic, which is going to be all about one of my favorite classic genres, beat-em-ups. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is all about the classic genre of beat-em-ups. You know, earlier in the show, we were talking about a strategy game, the new Fire Emblem title, Fire Emblem Echoes. And sometimes it's great to sit back and play a tactical, strategy-heavy game like that, but sometimes it's just fun to kick back and punch people in the face. Not in real life, you probably shouldn't do that, but in video games, it's all right to kick back and punch people in the face. They don't really make games like this like they used to. It was pretty big back in the days of 8-bit and 16-bit. It's kind of faded away. But still, I love going back and playing these classic games, and I still love to discuss them and play them and enjoy them. So I thought, well, that'll make a good counterpoint to this week's Fire Emblem discussion. And I thought the place to start with this was, what makes a good beat-em-up? Because not all beat-em-ups are created equal. First of all, the game needs to have great collision. And I don't necessarily mean collision detection. I mean, that's really important too. But by that, I mean the way the characters act and react when they get hit or deliver a hit. Do they act and animate like they're actually getting hit and taking damage, or do they just keep going? That is critical. In the best beat-em-ups, enemies especially have really good reactions, and that's what makes it so satisfying, just, you know, seeing the way that they react or double over or fall while you're fighting them, as opposed to something like The Adventures of Bayou Billy, where you kick or punch an enemy and he just keeps coming right at you like you didn't do anything. That is the opposite of what it should be doing. Second, you actually want the AI in the game to be kind of dumb. Now, that might sound counterintuitive, but in this kind of game, the enemy should not be smart, except for the bosses. But aside from them, the bad guys should just be walking punching bags. I mean, they should have some decent patterns, but they should be patterns that are easy to learn, and you should be overwhelmed by their numbers more than you're overwhelmed by tricky AI. This is not a stealth game.
I agree.
Third, you should have as much variety as possible. That's kind of the bane of these types of games, as they can get very, very repetitive. But by including multiple playable characters, lots of moves, lots of enemy types, a variety of environments, and the option for co-op, you can prevent it from becoming a problem. Plus, a lot of times, less is more. In general, these games should be on the fairly short side. Now, that's probably one of the reasons why the genre has kind of died down, because everyone expects games to be, you know, 20 or 30 hours these days, and a 20-hour beat-em-up would wear out its welcome really, really fast. So, with all that said, what are the best beat-em-ups out there on Nintendo platforms? First of all, we have River City Ransom EX. This is the Game Boy Advance enhanced port of the original River City Ransom. It has the same non-linear world as the original, the same story, but with greatly enhanced visuals. You know, actually, it doesn't do the whole give-and-take thing I was just mentioning very well compared to most of my other favorite beat-em-ups, but it excels in other areas, especially in terms of variety. It has all these unlockable moves, and it has all these RPG aspects of buying items and leveling up, and because of that, it basically carves a niche all its own. This is the reason that River City Ransom and River City Ransom EX appeal to even people who aren't fans of the genre, so it's definitely one of the best. Next up on my list of best beat-em-ups come Double Dragon Advance and Super Double Dragon. Double Dragon, of course, is kind of the series that put this genre on the map. And while the NES games were decent, especially Double Dragon 2, which is, you know, one of my top 10 NES games probably, the best games on Nintendo platforms would probably be on GBA and the Super NES. Super Double Dragon on the SNES added a really cool technique that allows you to block and counter enemies and sort of do this arm bar and then throw them over your shoulder. It was really, really cool. And then Double Dragon Advance was basically an enhanced remix of several past Double Dragon games that borrows elements of Double Dragon 1, Double Dragon 2, and Super Double Dragon. They ignored Double Dragon 3 because that one kind of sucked. But at any rate, it was a great game with lots of variety and gameplay that was even tighter than the original Double Dragon titles. Double Dragon games also have some really spectacular music. The next one I've got is Batman Returns on the Super NES. This was, of course, a licensed game, but it was made by Konami during its heyday, and so the production values are through the roof. It looks and sounds great, and being able to play something that was just so close to the movie was amazing. And better than that, the action is just very, very satisfying. It has all kinds of little touches, like being able to smash enemies through windows or fences, or being able to grab two enemies simultaneously and smash their heads together. Grabs and throws are, of course, a crucial part of any good beat-em-up. it offers a great sense of risk and reward. And Batman Returns, you know, did it better than most. Being able to grab two enemies at once is awesome. And then there are just all these other little touches. Like, I know I brought this up before, but there's this sword swallower enemy who likes to show off and has like an idle animation where he swallows his sword. And if you hit him while he's doing that animation, it results in massive damage and almost always an instant kill. And it's just these little touches like that that make the game so much fun, despite the fact that it's only a single player game.
I love it.
And then we have 3D Streets of Rage and 3D Streets of Rage 2.
I love this series.
These were, of course, originally 16-bit games on the Sega Genesis, but they were remade in 3D on the Nintendo 3DS. Plus, the non-3D versions were also available on Virtual Console for Wii. I especially like the character variety in Streets of Rage 2. I'm a fan of the slow but strong guy, Max, and I love, you know, using his wrestling moves on the enemies. The atomic butt cracker is one of my favorites. But if you're more into speed, you can play as Skate, who's like a kid on rollerblades. And then there are the balance characters like Axel and Blaze. So it has a lot of that variety I was talking about as far as the characters you can choose, plus tons of moves, excellent co-op, some fantastic music by Yuzo Koshiro, and as I've said before, the 3D is some of the best on the system. It just looks like these little playable dioramas on your Nintendo 3DS. It's great. I might sound like a broken record, but it's totally true. And then, finally, we come to Final Fight.
I see what you did there.
To me, Final Fight is still the measuring stick for best beat-em-ups, and there are two main reasons for that. One is the simple combo system, in which if you hold the joystick away from the enemy that you're attacking while you're pummeling him, you can combo into a throw, which is simple and intuitive, and it's also great for clearing out enemies behind you, so it's tactical as well as fun. And that's something that, you know, other beat-em-ups just don't have. It's such a small thing, but it goes a really, really long way. The second reason I think it's so great is just all the little details and the variety. For example, most games have, say, one or two types of health power-ups, usually a small one and a larger one, but Final Fight has, like, a barbecue and a hamburger and a soda and a pizza and curry and fruit, and that's just, you know, it's just fun. That's just one of the ways that, you know, little details go a really long way. And of course, you find all this stuff in the trash, which is also hilarious, but it's still pretty cool. And the same is true with the enemies. Every beat-em-up, basically pretty much any classic game, is guilty of having palette-swapped enemies and then calling it a different bad guy. But in Final Fight, they didn't change only the color, but they changed the face and sometimes other graphical details, so you're not just facing a bunch of enemy clones at any given time, you're actually facing a group of distinct enemies. I suppose the third reason to love Final Fight is that you play as a pro wrestling mayor who takes to the streets without his shirt and literally goes out there to fight crime, but that's kind of just a bonus. Of course, when it comes to Final Fight on Nintendo systems, it has sort of a weird history. Like, the Super NES version that came out near the system's launch was only one player, and it was missing a stage, and it was missing a character. So it wasn't until several years later when a version came out that had basically all the content of the arcade game, and that was Final Fight 1 on the Game Boy Advance. If you're looking to get a version on the Nintendo system, that is the one to get, because it has all three main characters, all six levels, two-player co-op, and it has some bonus stuff that wasn't in the original arcade game, like alternate costumes and things like that. So if you want a great beat-em-up, that would be my top choice on Nintendo platforms.
Cool.
Anyway, that is my spiel about beat-em-ups. It's kind of a dead genre, but with the rise of indies and the eShop and whatnot, I think now is a great time for the genre to possibly make a comeback.
I agree.
I will cross my fingers that there is some developer out there who is just as excited for a new beat-em-up as I am. That does it for this week's big topic, and I suppose that means it is time to wrap up this week's show. It's kind of a short one. But, you know what? Before we go, there is time for one more thing, and that is a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game Rally Bike. There's a cross-country motorcycle rally, and you're invited. Race from San Francisco to New York in six exciting stages. Maneuver past obstacles. Score extra bonus points. Keep off the curbs. Watch out for cars. Stay pumped up. Blow off your competitors. Conquer the ramps. And above all else, Wear your helmets and don't drink and drive. Racers, start your engines. I don't really know what's going on with that one. That is an actual back of the box, but somewhere along the line it just seemed to be turning into a public service announcement. Although I admit, I am curious if you can drink and drive in the game. That would probably make it a much more interesting and controversial experience. Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. Or you can just follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff. You can also email us at powerprospod@gmail.com for suggestions or any other reason. And if you like the podcast, it would be swell if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, the ScottBot 9000.
See ya.
And my long-lost daughter, Windy Okupa.
Oh, no!
We will see you next time.